The head coach of the Bucks joins us now, Raheem Morris. Coach Mike Francesa in New York on the Fan Yes Network. How are you?
How you doing? Great, man. How you doing, Mike?
Good,
man.
Thank you. Coach,
big fan, Mike. Big
thank
fan.
You. Good to talk to you, Raheem. And obviously, talking to your home area here with obviously New Jersey on one side and Hofstra on the other side. So nice to talk to you.
No question. I grew up listening to you guys, man, both at Hofstra and New Jersey, at Jim's Deli, you know, the late Coach Gardy. Greg Gigantino, everybody, all my family at Hofstra, when we had a football program.
You know, how about, no longer one. And, you know, you mentioned Joe Gardy passing just a couple of months ago. I know a guy who had a big impact on you. How about spending a minute on Coach Gardy?
You know, he was a father figure for me. He was a father figure for a lot of us at Hofstra and a lot of the guys that he recruited. He didn't just take you in there. He always talked about nepotism and developing you once you graduated, once you became a man, once you moved on. He was always there to help you. After he was done coaching football, he still helped everyone. He just was that type of a person and had a major influence on my life along with everybody else that I knew that I was really close to him and his players.
I know it meant a lot for him to see you be the head coach in the NFL, that's for sure. And year two started a whole lot better than year one did, right? I mean, year one, you had all the issues with the staff right before the season started. It was tough going. And then year two, you get yourself a win week one, which makes things a lot nicer, doesn't it?
You know, there's no question about that. You know, going to your first year as a head coach, you never really know what to expect. You go into that thing doing what you think is best. You use all your judgment. You got to make quick and fast decisions. We were able to do that last year, and now we were able to have an off season with the staff that's all together. Going to this thing again and get another crack at it, and it worked out well for us, and we're excited.
Yeah, made a nice comeback, got behind 14-3, made a nice comeback against the Browns, and really for your quarterback to have no preseason with the injury and to play as well as he did says a lot about him. But that is a kid who has a lot of leadership skills, isn't it? That's a kid who's a tough kid, isn't he?
Oh, no question. You know, comes back, you know, develops his leadership skills throughout the process. You know, misses a couple games there in preseason due to the situation, but you know, everything worked out for the best. He showed his team he's tough. He showed everybody around his organization that he's tough, and we look forward to watching him grow and develop with us and grow and develop as our leader. Having that leader of our football team, a leader of this organization that everybody's proud of.
Yeah, Josh Freeman's a guy who obviously has a lot of those things that you look for in a young quarterback. There's no question. And he stood in there tough last year through a tough year, and now the Bucks get ready for week two in Carolina. Coach, what's the thing that you had to change or you tried to change? What was the biggest thing you learned from a tough year one as you got ready for year two?
You know, really, we're a young football team, and we're still a young football team, but we had to increase our talent first. We had to do some things as far as direction and where we wanted to go, and talking about getting back to our fundamental core beliefs is what we need to do. When you have a bunch of young guys around, you gotta talk about tackling. You gotta spend time talking about shoot awareness. You gotta spend time talking about blocking and how important teamship is and fellowship and doing things together and everybody being on the same page. Because you know this league couldn't be a selfish league if you let it. And once you pick a bunch of people together, it's a little bit more to it than just putting together talent. You gotta put together core beliefs and you gotta put together your guys and give them all a direction. So we can go out there and play fast. You know, play hard. And play consistent, and that's been the formula that we're trying to use now.
And you obviously have some good young players, especially on that defensive front. I mean, a lot is expected, and they are young guys, but a lot is expected from your guys on that line this year. What do you sense from them so far early in this year? Have they picked things up as quickly as you thought they would?
You know, when you talk about from top to bottom, you might just start off with Gerald, and you're talking about the guy that I was able to evaluate, go through the whole process, the draft, go through the process of visiting him visiting us, being able to sit down with him and talk football. And really, he's coming here and absolutely shocked me with his ability to take it and run with it. You know, I knew he was a good student of the game. I had no idea that he would be this conscientious this early and be able to play multiple positions, do different things for us, and provide us with such flexibility that's been able to give us on our front line. And along with his guys and developing that core belief that he has, man, I really look forward and excited to watch these guys grow. You know, we went and got Brian Price with him. He's out there with Roy Miller from a year ago that we drafted from Texas. And we have Kyle Moore with him from a year ago from USC. And all these young guys developing, they got their crappy vet over there, you know, also from New Jersey, and Styles White. And they also have some other guys in there, like Ryan Sims, who played at the University of North Carolina. Some of those guys have joined there that's played in this league for a while. But these young guys are really being the core of our unit, the core of our defense, and really is going to lead us into the future.
Do you expect a guy to take a long time to learn the tricks of his trade when he has to go up against the kind of things he goes up against in the NFL when he's a defensive lineman? Do you expect it to take him, you know, half a season to kind of learn the ins and outs of what it takes to play on a line in the NFL?
You know, usually it does, man. It takes these guys a little bit, you know, time to catch on at the D-line position. It's some man games up there front, and these guys have really developed, and he's playing, and he's going right out there, and he's shown what his worth is right now. He's found his role. He's becoming one of our leaders in that room. He's really starting to come into his own very fast, and I know it's only one game, but just throughout the process of OTA days and just throughout the process of training camp and now getting to his first game action, you know, I'm liking where he's going. I like him what he got ahead of him.
How much did a week one win mean to your young team?
You know, I tried to stress this, and I said it the wrong way, I guess, right after my game. But I said, you know, that means nothing. You know, it's about trying to put together a team that goes out with and wins for a long time, and putting together that and moving on to your next opponent and letting that go. You know, I said to our local media here, you know, there's not going to be a parade on Dale Mabry for us now, and we got to go out there and get ready to play our next game and our next opponent, and we got to learn how to deal with that as a young football team, but we got to have a veteran-like approach. You know, there's teams out there that's done a lot of winning, and they've done it for a long time, but their approach, the way they attack every week is the same, and we got to develop that consistency if we want to continue winning and we want to continue to do good things.
We're talking with Raheem Morris, the former Hofstra player who coached at Hofstra and is, you know, in real terms, in chronological age, a baby in the NFL, very young, and one of the youngest head coaches in the history of the NFL here in his second season. He also hails from Irvington, New Jersey, as the Bucs off a week one win get ready to take on Carolina on the road this week. And, you know, you have such a young team and, you know, such a young player at the quarterback position. I mean, really, you couldn't basically have a younger head coach and a younger quarterback together on the same team. So it says a lot, and it says a lot about what you had to do, you know, in terms of the interview process just to get this job. I think it shocked people when you came out of that. I mean, you know, and got the job at such a young age. I mean, you know, to have a organization show that kind of belief in you at that age is pretty impressive.
You know, for me, it was more about the people that helped me develop and the people that helped me grow. And we talked about one early and being Coach Gardy. And you got to mention Coach Greg Gigantino, my defensive coordinator at Hofstra,
sure,
and some of my other coaches that I was able to have when I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to go to Hofstra under scholarship. But it even started before that with my coaches in Pop Warner, like a Ralph Steele, my own father, and just going to Donnie Soma, to Chet Parlivecchio, all the guys that were able to raise me and put me in direction that I wanted to be in, that I wanted to lead. And I was fortunate enough, once I got into the NFL, to come down here and be with guys like Monty Kiffin, you know, Mike Tomlin, Rob Marinelli, you know, Joe Barry, and all these really excellent coaches, and for whatever different reasons, and John Gruden, and learn different skills from those guys and try to steal their best self and steal the best things that they do and make it myself, and go out and really provide myself with a lot of information to go out and be the best that I can be. And I was on a 9-year interview here in Tampa, and it worked out fortunately for me that 9-year interview ended up me being a head coach, and I'm excited to have it, and I'm excited to have my opportunity and go out there and run with it.
You know, Raheem, it's an interesting thing. Rod Marinelli's a guy that people always talk so highly of. It's a tricky thing, isn't it? Isn't it almost kind of a little bit of a hit and miss? What makes Mike Tomlin successful as a head coach and Rod Marinelli not successful as a head coach? I mean, people always thought Rod Marinelli would be a good head coach. Not that Mike Tomlin wouldn't be, but there's Marinelli who doesn't succeed, and there's Tomlin who succeeds enormously. It's interesting, isn't it, when you look at who does and who doesn't succeed?
Well, there's always different characteristics and different forms of a great coach, and there are a lot of great coaches, and if you have the ability to become a head coach in this football league, you've done something great at some time, or you've done something well that somebody has noticed, taken notice of, and for whatever reasons, they work or they do not work, and it's the best of the best. You're talking about the top 32 coaches in the world in the National Football League, and they're competing every week, and you got people coming after your job every single year, and is it a great honor to achieve that, first of all? That gets lost a lot of the time in our profession. That gets lost a lot of time in the world. That gets lost a lot of time in just everything that we do. And anybody who has this achievement, or anybody that's been able to get to that achievement or even be considered for that achievement, has done something really well and has some really great characteristics of a leader and have some really great characteristics that you can steal something from and go out and try to find your best self. You know, I tend not to sit around and criticize what people do wrong. I tend to take their best self from them and try to use it to my own and try to adapt it to what I can do.
Is it a plus, Raheem, to be closer in age to the players than maybe someone who's 50 or 55 or 60 years of age? Is that something that you look at as a positive, to be as young as you are and be a head coach? Does that make your job easier? Does that make your job tougher in your mind?
In some ways, you know, it makes it easier for me, you know, to have the ability to relate with just about anybody on my football team, you know, being the same age with some of my own players, you know, like a Rondé Barber and some of those guys, you know, really being able to consider him as a friend first and then absolutely a guy that works for me is a really good, you know, deal. But, you know, what I found out very early, you know, because I've been a young coach for a while, you know, whatever the case I've been, I was a young DB coach when I was at Hofstra. I was a young defensive coordinator went to Kansas State. I was a young quality control when I came to Tampa, a young defensive back in the league, and now I'm a young head coach. So, you know, the thing I found out, the common thread is if you can make a player last longer or you can make a player play a little bit better, they will absolutely sit down and listen to everything you got to say, and they're really not concerned about age. They're not concerned about anything else. They're more concerned about the information and the knowledge that you can give them to prolong their careers.
What's the key for your team to be far more consistent than it was last year? You did win two of your last three last year. You had that enormous groundbreaking win against New Orleans. You know, the whole thing about a team that had a bad record beating a team with a top record. We all know that. But you had a couple of big wins late. You opened the season with a win. What's the key for your team to be a lot more consistent in terms of wins than it was last year? What's the most important thing for your team right now?
You know, for me, we've been talking about it already. It's just us playing fast. It's us playing hard. It's us playing together, us playing smart, and us playing consistent. And if we can go out and continue to do those things with the young football team that we have, we'll be able to compete with just about anybody. And it's already been proven. You know, you mentioned the Saints victory last year. That was an elite team that went on to win the Super Bowl that we were able to go out and compete with and win that day and be better than them that day. You know, can we withstand it? Can we go out and do it all the time and be consistent with that? That'll be the difference between the winning teams and the losing teams. And we got to try to go out there and put that in our head and focus on those goals and go out there and be our best self every day.
And what do you think about Carolina this week, which comes off a loss to the Giants? Now their home opener this week. What about the Panthers?
You're just talking about their head coach, and you're talking about their demeanor and how physical they play. You know, they're a young team as well, and they're producing that same type of physical play that they're known for, that they develop over the years, and they're getting ready to come out and play that type of ball with us. And we got to go out and compete with that effort and compete with that intensity and match it and do a better job than them, especially going into a hostile environment and hostile territory. And we look forward to the challenge. Nice road test for us.
And how about next week? Your old buddy Mike Tomlin will be in your building. There'll be a zillion Steeler fans. They might gobble up all those tickets in your building. They travel unbelievably well. Even when they play in New York, they buy a lot of tickets. And you're obviously didn't sell that many for game one. They're taking kind of a let's see approach in Tampa right now. Obviously, it's a great football hotbed for college too. How about the idea of facing Tomlin and the Steelers at home next week?
You know, for us, man, it's easy, man. We had our conversations on vacation together, and we've had our internal discussions about next week. But right now, you've always got to talk one game at a time. And you know, as a coach in this league,
sure,
you got to go out and you play one football game at a time.
Will that be tough, though, to go up against them?
And no, not at all, man. That's just a competitive edge. It's competitive juices flowing, and it'll be lovely. And I can't wait to see my old buddy. But right now, we got Fox coming. We got to go see the Fox in his town, and we got to go out there and try to get our second victory before we can even think about going to see your buddies.
And how about the idea of getting people to fill that building of yours again? Will that come quickly in your mind?
You know, for me, it's all about going out and winning. You know, we're dealing with tough economical times. There's stuff that you can't control, but the only thing you can do go out and do is put the best product on the football field that you could do, and hopefully you can get people to come out to the games. And I know that they're dealing with tough economical times. They're dealing with the situations at home, and they got to make tough decisions whether they're going to go out support C Entertainment, because that's what we are. We are entertainers, and our job is to go out there to entertain, and I got to put the best product on the field that we can go out there and try to get people to come out and entertain.
Well, listen, Raheem, thank you. Congratulations on your week one win. Thanks for giving us a couple of minutes. Continued good luck.
Thank you, guys. Man, talk to you soon.
Take care. Raheem Morris, the head coach of Tampa, and